Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother, for this word. It is worthy. It is worth, but it will cost. And there's no doubt about that. The cost is quite high price. There is a one price, and it's the price for everyone. Everything that you are and everything that you have. That is the price. Everything that you have belongs to God. Everything that you are belongs to Him. But when you were speaking about Noah, Daniel, and Job, that they could save themselves because of the righteousness, it really touched me that what did they overcome? Noah overcame judgment because he was righteous, because he heard the voice of the God and he obeyed. So he was overcoming the judgment that came. What about Daniel? What did Daniel overcome? Daniel overcame every kingdom of man by the righteousness because he heard the voice of God and he was obeying it. So Noah overcame the judgment. Daniel overcame the kingdom of man. Man, what about Job? Job, he overcame himself. He overcame his righteousness, and he realized that his righteousness was not according to God's righteousness. And when he repented of it, he received the God's righteousness. But Job had a vision through this, and Job had a hope through this, and he had a great, great promise through this. In chapter 19 in Job and verse 25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth,
Yes.
and he shall stand in the latter day on the upon the earth." He didn't say latter days, latter day, because there is only one last days, a day, and that is where we are today. And he says, "And through after my skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall see God,
Amen.
whom I will see for myself." So Job had a great, great vision. He had a great promise. And this great vision and this great promise is within the sons of God. We will see him. He will stand in the last day on the earth. He is who is going to stand up in our life. He is going to rule and reign in our life. The earth that he is going to stand up, it's our earth. It is here. He is going to stand and rise up within us in this day. So thank you for this word, Mark. Amen.
I had a couple little things to say. When you spoke about wishing to have an audience, what came to me was C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Till We Have Faces. And in the book, there's a woman that was very bitter. She felt that she'd really been wronged in life. And so she had all these grievances all written up and ready to go. And when she comes before God, she's going to just lay out all this stuff of how she was so wronged and everything. And the book says, why should the gods listen to what we think we mean? How can they meet with us face to face till we have faces? And I just feel like that's what happened with Brother Mark, and that's what needs to happen with us, is God really can't even almost commune with us until we're to the point where we're really ready for it. And then one other thing, I had the Holy Spirit speak to me on the way to the meeting today. I was when I'm driving here every Sunday morning, I have a local Christian radio station on, you know. And this morning when I was driving here, this person came on and they were saying, God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He's always there. He's always on time. He's never late. And even though that's all true, it's actually not the way they meant it. That's not the way it goes, because many times God is waiting for us. And anyway, what happened was when this person said, God will never forsake you, the thought came to my mind, oh yeah, well, what happened when Christ was on the cross? Because remember, he said, why hast thou forsaken me? And when I thought that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, what God wants to do in our life is he wants to make you so sure that he won't forsake you, that when it seems like he does, you'll know better. Amen.
You know, I think the problem that Job had, maybe you too, Mark, is the problem that many of us Christians have, is the pride of life. You know, we take, many of us take great pride in our Christian walk, how we serve the Lord, who we are in God, when it's the pride, we take pride in our righteousness. And we don't have any righteousness. All our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. And all that we do or all that we can do in ministry, all that we are in our life in God is because of him. It's not us. We should take none of the credit for any good that's in us. It's only God that gets the credit and the glory. James, in the fourth chapter of James, it says he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And it's only by grace that we are where we are. And that's a free gift from God. And not only was there grace in the beginning when he called us into the kingdom, but there's grace now as we walk out our Christian life. I'm reminded of what Micah said, what is required of you? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. So the humility that God requires is to take a good look at who we are. Paul said like each of us should say in Romans 7, you know, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of sin and death? And it's only Jesus Christ that does these things in our life. So we need to be careful that pride does not sneak into our soul, into our being, and start puffing us up, thinking that we're better than we are. The only good thing in us is the life of Jesus Christ, and we owe everything to him. And we need to be careful that we never take the glory that belongs to God upon ourselves. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Mark, could I ask for prayer? I'm going to go Thursday for a procedure, and I just want to ask for prayer.
Okay.
Now call me.
You hear, Sister Madeline? Somebody's got the word of prayer for her.
I'll pray for Madeline, but before I do, something Larry said brought something to my mind. When he said that we can't take the glory, my mind went to the scripture where when Joshua was coming into the promised land, which is a picture of us coming into the promised land, the very first city that they took was Jericho. If I say some of these towns' names wrong, it won't make any difference. Anyway, the very first one, I believe, was Jericho, and God told them, you're not to take one thing. Don't take one article of anything. But the second town that they took, he said, okay, now you can take some of the spoils on this one. And I feel like what God was making clear was, I want you to understand that I am the one that made this victory. I'm the one that gets the glory. And once you get that straight, okay, now you can take a little bit of it, you know. Anyway, that came to my mind. But okay, let me pray for Madeline. Lord, we just lift up Madeline. You see and know exactly every circumstance of what's going on with her right now. You know every little thing. You already know the outcome. Yes. We ask you, Lord, to have your hand upon her, her hand upon the doctors. There's so many things that can go wrong, and you have the power and the ability to prevent any of them from happening. And so we're asking you, Lord, to be with her, and that supernaturally you would just bless everything that happens. You'd cause everything to go well, and that everything would be in your hands. And we trust you with that, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Amen.
Madeline, what is procedure?
Amen.
What did he say?
I think he wants to know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm thinking about what are you going to procedure? What is it?
Well, they don't know. They're guessing about what's wrong. They are putting a tube down my throat,